Hello, stranger.
Hey!
How you been?
I'm doing okay.
So it's been a few weeks since we've done this.
Yeah. Everything between illness, fires, and a baby being born into the family. Yeah, I've had to step away for a little bit.
Well, congratulations on the baby.
Yay! I have a new niece.
Congratulations. So cool. I hear she's a cutie.
She's adorable.
Aww.
Yeah. I'm jazzed.
No congratulations go out for you having to evacuate again.
No, I didn't have to evacuate. I was on a voluntary evacuation list, but still, I was on standby. So, you know, never pleasant to have to decide, oh, okay, what few things are the most important to take with me.
Right.
But it's okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're safe.
Yes.
So today we're going to get back into the swing of things, jump on the saddle, as it were, right?
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about a show that we went to last month when we saw the Long Riders play at the Roxy.
Yes, indeed.
But we're going to need a little bit of help.
And who better to ask than the one and only Lena Litonwa?
Yes, I'm super excited to have her back on.
Oh, and she is a super fan extraordinaire, so I think we're going to be in great hands.
Yeah, so if we're talking about The Last or we're talking about Long Riders, we need Lena, right?
I can absolutely agree with you there.
All right, well, let's get started.
Sounds good. Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a groovear.
Let's get groovy. All right, it's time to add Lena to the call.
Bring it on.
We did it.
Yay, technology. Lena, so good to hear your voice.
Yes.
It's good to hear your voices, too.
Well, I think the time is here, the time is now. We're a little late to the game, but it's always worth talking about. The Long Riders at the Roxy. Yay.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so Jeff, just give us a little... Give our listeners a little background, the date.
Okay, so the show took place on a Thursday last month on October 3rd, 2019 at the Roxy in Hollywood, California. This was the first time and only time I've ever seen the Long Riders, so I was super excited.
What?
Yeah, I've never seen them before.
Shame on you.
I will take the punishment because it's well-deserved, yeah. Yeah, I think last time they did the show, what, about 4 or 5 years ago, I think they didn't do that many songs. I think Wednesday Week was on the bill.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah.
There was...
Because the last time I saw them, and I was with Lena, Joy Milam, and Kim Wilkinson, and Rain, we were at the Observatory.
And it was
and Translator opened.
And it was a full set?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I knew that I thought they did this another venue somewhere in Hollywood. I think it might have been the Troubadour that you guys went to.
Oh, yeah, they did the Troubadour before, yeah.
Right. I was there too, yeah.
So I know that you guys had opportunities to see them there, and then, of course, before. But both of those dates, we were out of the state. So I didn't get to hit either one of those. So this was my first time, and it was cool, Soraya. I had told you while I was waiting in line, I got there early because I wanted to get up front, and I was waiting in line, and I started talking to the couple next to me, and then a couple minutes into the conversation, the gentleman said, "Are you Jeff?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." And he's like, "Do you do the Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme podcast?" And I was like, "Yes." And he's like, "My name is Scott Graham. I'm one of the listeners." And I was so excited, Soraya. I was like, "Oh my gosh, like this is
got hands.
Yes.
My gosh.
Yes.
You know, it was inevitable, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're all going to, we all love the same band, so yeah, it's inevitable that we're going to be at the same place.
I thought that was amazing. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey,
it was a good
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And if Scott, if you're listening, it was a pleasure to meet you. And it was a great show. And a great show to meet. Yeah. So Scott had received the tickets for the concert as a gift from his wife. And Scott's birthday is real close to mine in July. So he's been waiting since July to October to actually see the show. So it was a birthday gift. So that was pretty cool. So then,
very wise choice.
Right. Yes. Not a bad birthday gift. So then I think you guys showed up a couple minutes later because you guys were just behind us in line before the show even started. And then they opened the doors and right up front we went.
You know, it's pretty amazing because for those of you who maybe don't live in the Los Angeles area, the Roxy's such an iconic space. And what's a true benefit of it is that it's a real intimate space too. You know, it's small, intimate, and you really get up close and personal with the band. And so it just feels, it's got this really great atmosphere in there. Lena, how many shows have you seen in at the Roxy? Are we already in triple digits?
Oh, no. Wow. Well, I mean, you have to remember, you know, back in the early 80s, I mean, you know, when you've seen as many shows since back in the 80s, let's see, that's like 40 years. You know, it's like hard to keep track of how many. I really couldn't tell you how many. But one thing that's really interesting, actually, about the Long Riders playing there at the Roxy, you may or may not know that they did a video one of their shows at the Roxy, and that's available. I mean, you might have to like look for it on eBay or someplace, but it's, you know, the Young Long Riders, and it's a fun show. So it's like I've seen it so many times that when, you know, I see them there at the Roxy now, it's kind of mind blowing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I like that. Okay, now I need to find that.
I have that DVD, yes. I forgot all about that. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Rocking at the Roxy.
Yes, yes.
See, I told you, Jeff, having Lena on is just going to make this show come back to life,
yes.
Literally.
Oh, and, of course.
And then one of the things that perhaps some listeners may not be aware of, the Long Riders have been on tour, and it really... they've been on tour well throughout the summer. Summer, and then starting again in September, October, they took a short break, then back in November, back to Europe, and they just ended their 2019 tour.
Yes, they did.
And then they'll be starting again in January, is it, of 2020?
They're doing a cruise for Outlaw Radio,
right.
Outlaw Country, for... Sirius XM. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that's the only one. Like they're doing a cruise, but that sounds like it's going to be really spectacular. Kind of wish I was on that one too.
You know, we can only hope that after the cruise, they decide, oh, how about a few more shows?
Yeah.
We can be a part of that too. But oh my gosh! All right, so let's jump into the show. So, Jeff, who was the opener?
So the opening band was Ford Madox Ford, which features Chip Kinman from Rank and File. So I had an opportunity to see them when they opened for the Dream Syndicate at the Casbah. So this was my second time seeing them. And
oh, cool.
Man, I thought they were amazing. They were a great fit leading up to the
Very
Long Riders.
Very good fit for this bill. Very good fit for this bill. And Chip sounds great.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this band, he's got a very tight unit. Really high energy. You could feel the energy building as he went through his set, and he looked really happy to be up there and the band just, they were really in sync that night. What do you think, Lena? How'd you like that opener?
Well, you know, I'd never seen them before, but of course I'd seen Rank and File and, of course, the Dills. I mean, I think actually we played on my band Peer Group way back in the early 80s. I think we were on the same bill as the Dills somewhere. I think might have been, somewhere in Hollywood. But no, they were amazing. I was surprised how much I really loved them. Or maybe I shouldn't have been, because, I mean, they were always great in every incarnation.
Very true. Very true. But it was so good to see him on stage. And, you know, that's my confession. I never saw Rank and File live.
No, so I hadn't either.
That's my confession. But, you know, I admire the work and enjoy the music. But, man, it was good to see him up there.
Yeah.
He just looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah, he really did. And, man, I don't know who that guitar player was, the lead guitar player.
Ooh,
but
man, that guy was smoking. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I was talking to him at the bar, and before the show, I had no idea who he was. And I was asking him questions like, had he ever seen the Long Riders and how far did he travel? Like, he was just like another guy. And then the band gets up, and I should have remembered him from when I saw him opening for the Dream Syndicate, because he was the same lead guitar player that Chip had. And sure enough, he climbs on stage, and I'm like, ugh, well, that's the dude I was just talking to at the bar.
So, have you ever seen the Long Riders? Oh, you know, take the last sip of the drink. Excuse me a second, I got to do something. Yeah. Chip picks up a guitar and a pick and goes at it. That's pretty funny.
Exactly, exactly.
So they do their set, and don't worry, folks. Chip's name comes back in a little bit. Don't worry.
Wait, 1 second before we move away.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the guest was that Chip called up on stage, but he calls up a guest from the audience, and it turns out that he's a co-author of People Who Died, the Jim Carroll song.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the Jim Carroll band, so that's why. It's like, I can't remember right now. His name is escaping me also. But, yeah, he was in the Jim Carroll band. Yeah, co-wrote that. So I thought that was really, really cool because I'd never seen them anyway. So
I think
that was really hot, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that was that number. So he brings him up. The guy walks up, and he's got a t-shirt that says, did it say fuck off Trump or fuck you Trump?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And he just, this band just starts going into People Who Died. Oh my gosh. Spoken after that. Oh, it was so good.
It was.
It was, and you know what I liked about Chip's band, the song selection was excellent because it did exactly what they were supposed to do in terms of kind of building the energy, building the atmosphere. And people were happy to see him, happy to see the band. And then like the anticipation just starts rising in the room. And, you know, every now and then I'd glance behind me because, you know, if Jeff's at the front of the stage, you know, usually Lena is nearby and I'm somewhere a little bit behind. So I would just start looking around the room and it just got more full, more full, more full. So we were in for a treat.
Yes.
100%. And then the moment. Long Riders take over. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's walk through these first couple of songs on the set. So some of you may or may not know because Jeff posted it way back in October. Who gave you the set list, Jeff?
So it was Greg Souders, the drummer, at the end of the show. Lena, did he give you a drumstick?
No, but that's okay because but when I saw them in Atlanta in 2009, he gave me both his drumsticks from that show. So,
okay.
So that's okay. I don't need to be greedy.
Yeah. That was kind of you to share. Yeah. So he walked to the front of the stage. He had a set list and a drumstick. And I think he was like offering one or the other to those of us that were up front. And I was like, if I may, I would love to have that song list, that set list. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
I thought it was pretty, pretty excellent. And Jeff got some up close and personal moments with one and only Sid the Squid.
Yes.
Griffin, who knighted Jeff with his 12 string. He tapped him on both shoulders, and we all know that that's just knighting someone. So, Jeff, you are a royal member.
Sir Jeffrey of Temecula.
Sir Jeffrey of Temecula of the Order of the Long Riders. I love it.
I will accept it with gratitude.
Dang. So they come out, and these are the first couple of songs. So we get Gunslinger, You Don't Know, Stitch in Time, then All Aboard, Make It Real. And then
State of Our Union.
State of Our Union. Okay, but just think of that first set of six. Okay, that's a power punch, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
When you're a gunslinger man, that, then you know you're in business.
Oh, my gosh. There for a second before we hit the next five. So they go into this really strong beginning of six songs, and like you said, Lena, with Gunslinger, you know, that's it, the night you're giving yourself over to the band. And man, they had us in the palm of their hand, and they really didn't let us go until the final strum was strummed, like the final touch of the strings. I was really impressed. You know, it's been a couple of years since I've seen them, but Lena, what, it's been about 2 years since that show at the Observatory, two, three years
now.
And in the meantime, you know, Psychedelic Country Soul comes out, which is such a good, strong album. And I honestly, it was Matt Pucci in a comment said, this is the most psychedelic I've heard the band.
Yep. Yeah.
Right. But when you think about, you know, Sid's gone off and he's done the Cole Porters. He's done a few other things, you know, Greg, Steven, Tom have also, you know, they've kind of gone off and done different things. And when we had Tom and Greg on, they both mentioned how this album is really kind of a love letter to one another. It's really like a statement of care and friendship and love for one another. And you really feel it when you hear that album. And then you see them on stage. And there is this chemistry and synergy with the four of them. Absolutely. I mean, I was blown away.
Same.
I really, really was.
I think we all were.
I mean, they were pulling no punches, and they were going, they were just going to leave us, you know, like completely knackered and gutted right there in the Roxy. And, you know, the things that stood out for me, at least at the beginning of that show, first of all, Steven's workmanship, his guitarship, and his voice. Oh, boy. I mean, I know what I'm going to get from Sid, but Steven was a real surprise for me this time around. I don't know why, but he just was. And then Tom took over lead on quite a few songs, and I love hearing Tom sing.
Yes.
I really, really do.
Same, yeah.
And, you know, and then, like, Steven and Tom switched guitar and bass, which was fun, too. I mean, so we got some neat little elements in this show that I really hadn't expected, and they pulled the rug out from under me. I don't know, Lena, what about you? At the beginning, what were you still surprised? Or not really?
Since this is the first time really that we'd heard all the new material live, I was really looking forward to it. But yeah, I'd say in one aspect, I was really surprised. Like when you mentioned that Steven and Tom switched instruments, you know, this was especially during Tom's songs. For example, let's see, like All Aboard, which actually he wrote with Sid. That was actually originally a Tom song that he never had lyrics for. So he had Sid write the lyrics for it. So that was another one of their collaboration. Actually, the first time they collaborated. And what was the other song? Bells of August.
Yes.
One thing that I noticed that I'd never seen before in a Long Rider show, Tom, when he was doing the guitar, when he was playing lead guitar and singing, it's like he became another person. That's what was going through my mind, was like, this is a different Tom. This is not Tom who's playing the bass, he's incredible playing the bass, but with the guitar, it was just like a completely different person, and his playing was just out of this world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just watching him was like, he was like transcendent of you know, what he, you know, when his usual, you know, bass playing stuff. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing. And so I thoroughly enjoyed the whole show, but especially those moments like that. And then the addition of the fiddle player,
Carenza. Yeah.
Carenza Peacock.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really added, you know, special elements there that, you know, I don't know. It's just like a nice touch, and it really added, I think, even more dimension to the songs.
I have to agree with you. Jeff, what about you? I mean, this was your first time.
Yeah.
So as they started getting into the set, what was going through your mind?
Well, first of all, I thought, not seeing them in person before, I've seen lots of videos. Like I said earlier, I totally forgot that I owned it, but I owned that Rockin' at the Roxy DVD. But seeing it in person, I never realized what a showman that Sid the Squid is. I mean, he is putting on a show for sure. So and it was funny because there was a few mistakes that he made in chords and lyrics, but none of that mattered because he was just giving us a show, and I thought that was really cool. And the musicianship of the other three, I was like, oh my gosh, especially I'm a huge Stephen McCarthy fan, but his guitar playing is incredible. I just love his stylistic choices. And like Lena says, with Tom, I was like, man, this guy, I mean, his guitar playing, it's not like a bass player playing guitar. I mean, it's like a guitar player, you know, he can hold himself well with a six string instrument as well as the bass playing. So I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's like a one man show, like jumping on lead singing, harmonizing vocals, keeping the low end down, rhythm guitar, lead guitar. I was like, wow, this guy is really good. And then, of course, Greg back there up on the drum riser, just holding the beat together, and he looked like he was having a blast back there. So all of the energy that they all put out was just made for an awesome show for me.
And then just to kind of piggyback on Jeff's point, so you have to imagine Sid the Squid Griffin. He gave himself a different nickname that day. Sid the It.
Yes.
Sid the It. He said, no more Squid. I'm Sid the It. But, typically when you see Sid, he's, you see white Levi's, suspenders, white shirt. And then he had on these crimson red tennies. So, you know, Sid was going to have you looking at him one way or another.
Yes.
But I mean, and
really
then,
yes.
And then, you know, that absolutely beautiful, powerful 12 string that, you know, whenever that came out, you just go, oh my gosh. I don't know about you both, but for me, there are times when I forget about, you know, the variety of Sid's musicianship. And so it's just such a nice reminder. And I mean, the guitar is beautiful anyways, but
yes.
Okay. So now let's move into the next few songs. And I mean, like, Gunslinger to me was such a great start. And I really like State of Our Union too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves into I Want You Bad. And then, wait, I'm just
Ivory Tower.
Yes. Ivory Tower, Molly Somebody. And then we get to Walls, which is such a great song. And then I had a dream last night. Thank you. Today, like Jeff and I were talking about, I'm a little rusty, so, you know, I'm getting tongue-tied just going through a song list. Be patient with me. all right, so that set of songs. And in the song list that Greg gave to Jeff, it said 12 strings. So I'm sure these were just notes of, you know, what guitar and everything. But this little middle part was, I mean, you could feel the buildup, right? So you get that first six songs, and then you get this beautiful five-song set. And, I mean, like, it just keep building and building and building. Like, there wasn't a moment of where you go, I wouldn't have played that. No, it was like one after the other. Boom, 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 boom. Thoughts on these five songs? I Want You Bad, Every Tower, Molly, Somebody, Walls, and Dream.
Whose opinion do you want now?
Alina, let's go with you.
Oh, okay. Well, of course, I Want You Bad is like, I don't know if that was actually a single or not. Can't remember, but that's one of their most popular songs. That's which is a cover song, but it when they play it, it means uniquely theirs.
Yeah. One, two.
Come on, let's keep it real so we can shake up this whole life.
I've actually heard another band cover that song using the Long Riders arrangement. So, ooh, you know, that kind of tells you that it's kind of like they put their stamp on it. It's theirs, really. Of course, like I said, that's one of my favorites. Let me see what else. Okay, Ivory Tower. That is such a gorgeous song. I was very lucky when we did see them in Atlanta that their original bassist was there at the show, and he performed that with them there. But, I mean, it's such a gorgeous song. It's like one of their earlier ones from the first album. So that was nice to hear that. Molly Somebody, which is Sid's song, and that's from the new album. And I really liked it live. Yeah, you know, it's like that, you know, when I listened to it on the album, it was like, it was different hearing it live where, I mean, yeah, duh, it's live, but no, the way he performed it, I really liked it even better than I do from the album version. So that was really nice to hear. And of course, when they did their cover of Walls by Tom Petty, I mean, that was their tribute to him. And it's just like the perfect song, the most perfect song of his that they could have chosen to cover. I mean, it was beautiful. I love that. I got emotional with that one. And then, of course, I Had a Dream. That's another one of my favorites. So I love that set, really. You know, that was really good. I enjoyed all that.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff, what about you for this middle series of songs?
Yeah, so I definitely have to piggyback on pretty much everything that Lena says. So I am a huge fan of that 12-string Rickenbacker sound that Roger McGuinn made so popular with the Byrds, right? And I just loved that sound. It's just so jangly, and it made for this set to be great for me, just to hear that sound of that guitar. I didn't know that I Want You Bad was an NRBQ cover. In fact, I don't think I've heard the original version ever. I know it to be a Long Riders song, so I didn't even know that it was a cover, never having heard the original. Ivory Tower, that's one of my all-time favorite songs. I love that entire Native Sons album. That's my favorite album of theirs. The new one might run competition with Native Sons to me. I really like the new album, but Ivory Tower is one of my favorite songs from Native Sons.
In Cleveland, Ohio, we had the pleasure of playing this song with its author, a dear friend of mine named Barry Shank. Cue Barry applause. So there were five Long Riders on stage. It was incredible. It was like being in Tom Jones' band. Braziers are coming on stage, Motel Keys, unbelievable. Okay, in my dreams. But anyway, so this is for Barry Shank in Ohio. This is a wonderful song. It's called Ivory Tower.
She's got
And then Molly Somebody. I think what Lena says is spot on, that there was a whole new life to the live version. And I was really looking forward to how they would perform the new album. And luckily they covered quite a few. I think they did 6 songs. I have a breakdown of what albums each song came from, but I think it was like 6 songs from the new album. And I really, really liked this live version of Molly Somebody quite a bit. The album version is really good too. But Walls, I was always curious why they did that. They've got plenty of original material. I was wondering why they did a cover. And then when Greg was on our show, he was talking about the fact that they had met Tom Petty and they had a relationship. And to me, now when I hear them doing it, it just feels like extra emotional, like it's a tribute to a friend. That all makes sense. And then I Had a Dream. So this is my absolute favorite Long Rider song. So I was so, so excited to hear them play this. And I was hoping that they would. And it just sounded great. Just loved it.
I just, you know, this middle set or this middle series of songs was really powerful. And then we get this buildup, right? As we're moving towards the third part of the set and moving towards the encore. But, you know, Jeff, you just said something, and I think it really resonated with me. And that was how, you know, both you and Lena remarked on how the use of the cover of Walls, that, you know, there's something, there's a nuance to it that maybe we haven't thought of. And the emotion and kind of that tie, that friendship tie to Tom Petty, it really made that song, and they made that song really their own. The version they use is very Long Riders. And then, you know, we get that beautiful voice, Stevens, and I Had a Dream. And then we move into this third series of songs. And, you know, the gut punch is there, definitely. There's a lot of emotion tied into these songs, and I think it was something that, you know, maybe I just hadn't given it that much thought, but as the show was going on, I kept feeling myself, you know, I was writing these kind of highs and lows of emotion depending on which song. So the third series, Bells of August, and that had Carenza Peacock on violin. Mm-hmm. Then Final Wild Sun, again with Carenza. Greenville, which I think is a really strong song also off of Psychedelic Country Soul.
Yes.
I mean, Bells of August is an insanely good song. And the message is, I mean, when we had Tom on, you know, that song is just so powerful. You just can't ride the boxcars anymore. South Side of the Story. And then Lights of Downtown. Jeff, I love your laugh. I want you to go. So this third series of songs, give me your thoughts.
All right. So Bells of August, that was one of them that Tom jumped onto guitar, right? And then he actually moved from, let's say, stage left to stage right. So he moved to the opposite side of the stage. Took on guitar, and I remember him talking about the story behind this and the lyrical content, and about a mother and a father having their son come home from a deployment in a casket, right? And I actually cried while he was singing it, because I was just remembering him talk about the content of the song, and just seeing him sing it live and the emotion that he felt, I was just like, this is a very, very, very powerful song. And it's, I think, these days, it's a good message. And it's love, that we need to love the people that are around us, and not such a big fan of people going to war. So, I felt that it was a very powerful message. And Final Wild Sun, again, from Native Sons, one of my favorite albums. So, they could have played any song from that album, and I would have loved it. Greenville, for me, this song can easily be inserted into their top 10 songs for me. It's a brand new song, so it's I don't know if it's too early to say that, but I think it's one of their strongest songs. Steve McCartney on this song, is I just love the chorus hook on it. It just has such a great feel, and it's so Long Riders-ish. It's just, to me, when I hear it, I'm like, man, this is so them, and it's so catchy. Like, this, to me, could easily be a single. Like, if this was 1987, I would think that the song would be all over college radio. You Just Can't Ride the Boxcars Anymore, great song. It was great to hear them do that live. Same with Southside. But Lights of Downtown, like, oh my gosh, I love the song. The way that the two guitar players play with Sid and Steven, doing the harmony lead part. And my friend Paul and I tried to play this, and we did okay with it. But seeing these two do it live, man, I was in heaven. It was just so, so exciting to see it actually live. I've probably listened to that song more than any other Long Rider song, so it was super exciting to see them end the regular set with this. And just the adrenaline was flowing when they started playing that, and
yeah,
I was taken away. Loved it.
It's pretty mind-blowing, you know, when just listening to you talk about it, it's like, you know, I start getting excited again thinking about that show, because I mean, it was just power song after power song after power song. Lena, what about you? This third series of songs, beginning with Bells of August and ending with Lights of Downtown.
Okay, well, I've got to kind of reiterate what I said before. Because it's new, of course, none of us had ever seen it live before. But yeah, when hearing him and seeing him, Tom play Bells of August, it was, like I said, it was just like a new band member, as a guitarist. And that, like you said, that's a very emotional song. It's very deep. It's very heartfelt. And having him play it live there, makes it even more so, I thought. And especially again with Carenza playing along with that, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Yes. Final Wild Sun, of course, that's one of their classic songs. And actually, you know what? To kind of piggyback on what Jeff was saying about Greenville, their new material melds so easily into their old material. I mean, it is more psychedelic. But I mean, it's classic rock, Long Rider sounding. I don't know if you would say if it's on the same level, it's possibly even better, but like better Long Rider. yeah, definitely more psychedelic, like Matt Pucci, had commented, but you know, these songs, I mean, if you put it together with their earlier material, I mean, there's like no disconnect. It's all right. Them. And it's like, it just proves that they not only didn't lose anything, but it's only gotten stronger. Okay. Yeah. Like Jeff was saying with Greenville, that's one of my favorites. I was so glad that they started the album off with that one. It really kind of sets the tone, but I loved hearing it live. That was really wonderful. And like I said, Steven's guitar work, his voice, everything. I mean, it's just like the perfect combo.
Right.
Okay. Boxcars, of course. I Just Can't Ride the Boxcars Anymore. It's another Tom song. I love hearing that. That's one of those songs that it's classic Long Riders. It's classic Tom Stevens.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just like one of those feel good songs, even though it's like a kind of and I don't want to say negative, but like a down sort of theme. It always makes me feel happy hearing that one, if that makes any sense. Okay, South Side of the Story. That one, I don't remember. I don't think I've heard that one live before, in person anyway. So that was a lot of fun to hear. And of course, Lights of Downtown, like Jeffrey said, that's one of my favorites of theirs too. And so I always enjoy hearing them play that one. So, I mean, I just enjoyed that whole set, too. I mean, there's not one bum song in the whole list, as far as I'm concerned.
And, you know, I think one of the things, now as I listen to the two of you, I really liked the inclusion of Carenza, of Carenza Peacock. It really added a dimension to Final Wild Son and Bells of August. So, you know, I just like, you know, that Sid brought in people, you know, here's someone I worked with in Cole Porter's and here, boom. And she added something really beautiful to these songs that are really just, they're so powerful in and of themselves. And then she added this kind of very beautiful ethereal component to it. I really, really liked her contribution to the song. It really made it very, very unique. All right. And then, folks, remember I said don't forget about Chip Kinman. So then the gents leave and we're like, more, more, more. And they come back for a two-song encore, right? So everybody already had their picks, I'm sure, in their brain of what we were going to hear, Lewis and Clark. But they start out with, they invite Chip Kinman back. And Lena Litonwa, could you please tell us what that first song was with Chip?
It was Amanda Ruth. Oh, please, I was like...
Yeah.
excited about that one.
Yes.
Now, Lena, spill it. Did you know that that was coming? I mean,
did a little 30 come and let you know?
It was quite possible, especially knowing that Chip Kinman was, you know, going to be joining them on stage. I figured, what else could they possibly do? I mean, that is like the song by Rank and File.
And let me tell you, Chip, with these four, man, that song just, that song did it. It was so stinking good.
It was
God, yeah.
Oh, man. And Jeff, you had brought the Rank and File album. I think I missed the memo or the release of who was opening. Otherwise, I would have brought something, but I had no idea. So this was such a sweet surprise to me.
Yeah.
And boy, this was, I don't think it could, I mean, this was just killer. Jeff, what were your thoughts on hearing Amanda Ruth live?
Yeah. It was so exciting because I'd never seen Rank and File. I own all of their records. And like you said, I brought all my vinyl to get signed. And I didn't think there would ever be a chance, of course, that I would get to hear any Rank and File live. So when they started playing that, so Lena did let the cat out of the bag that there was something special that was going to happen. That's all I knew. Something special was going to happen.
Something special. It could have been 1,000 things.
Yeah, it could have been.
But Amanda Ruth?
I assumed that the Long Riders were going to play a special song. I didn't expect a special guest. And yeah, to hear Chip sing that song with the Long Riders as his backing band, I mean, come on. That was so awesome.
It was so tight. And then, you know, I did a quick scan of the audience, and the audience was singing along and smiling. I mean, this was really something special.
Yes.
It really was. So, I had no idea what was coming, and this was really a beautiful thing that I saw, and so unique, and, you know, I don't know if it can, and, you know, Lena, the other day, you had posted online about having an earworm, you know, something in your head, and for days after, I was playing Amanda Ruth by Rank and File, just on a loop. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
It was that good, you know? It was just one of those things I couldn't let go of from that night. And then they end, I mean, after that, which just blew the place away, we get Looking for Lewis and Clark with audience participation and Sid the Id Griffin prompting us to sing louder and more forcefully. I mean, it was hilarious. And I mean, but it was such a strong end to the show, and people did not want to leave. Evidence being people just lingering inside the club once they were done. And I mean, Sid comes off and he's sweaty. Tom comes off sweaty. Greg, Steven. And people just, you know, no one wanted to leave that space. It was really neat to see.
Yeah.
And then you just scan the room and you say, Russ Tolman, Dennis Duck. You know, you can just, you saw so many.
And Stacium, their producer.
I'm glad you guys can help fill in, because I just did one little scan and I saw a few people, but I'm sure I, you know, hopscotched over a few others too. But it was cool to see this LA crowd, and it was varied, and people who, you know, seeing the band live for the first time, Jeff, some seeing them, you know, for the 10th, 20th time, Lena, and, you know, and friends of the band who came, you know, fans. It was a really good crowd.
Yeah.
And man, I think we could have squeezed out one more tune, but you know, Sid said, okay, we got to go. This is the last one. Look, you know, Looking for Lewis and Clark. And the night ends. So I got to ask the two of you, what's the song that you didn't hear that you wish you had?
I have two.
All right, Jeff, shoot.
So I would have loved to hear Join My Gang.
Okay.
That's so they did.
Wait, hold on a second. Lima, had you ever heard them play that live?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
So they did 3 songs from Native Sons, 4 from Two-Fisted Tales, 5 from State of Our Union, and 6 from the new album, Psychedelic Country Soul. I thought it would have been nice to have one from the first, from the debut EP, and Join My Gang. My second song would be Still Get By, which is one of my favorite songs from them. But I pretty much knew that would never happen. I think Tom mentioned on the show when we had him on, I think it's about somebody's ex, so it may never get played again. One of those kind of things. So,
oh, yeah. That's
Lena. I forgot
about that.
Put that one to bed, Jeff. It ain't ever going to happen. What about you, Lena? What didn't you hear that you hoped you had?
Wow. I hate being put on the spot like this because then, like, my mind races to, this one. No, this one.
Well, you don't have to answer if you don't want to. We can just leave it like TBA.
That's true, yeah. Because, I mean, it's like I'm going between all of them, and I said, yeah, Still Get By is a good one.
Yeah.
But me, even more of the new album.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have been hearing. So hopefully, there's going to be a future opportunity that we can do that.
I would really hope so, because I'll be honest, I was surprised that I didn't hear Psychedelic Country Soul.
That, there you go, yeah.
And
perfect.
Yeah, for those of you that have the album, it's the last track. It's the title track. And it's such a curious song for me because, you know, the arrangement is so different. For me as a listener, just I own it for me, but... And I was just thinking to myself, I want to see how they arrange it live. I want to see how they really take this and go somewhere with it. And I was a little surprised that I didn't get it. It's all good, though, because they gave me 19 songs. And I was, after the show, I was a little curious, and I started digging through some of the set lists from their shows on this fall tour. And I mean, we got a lot of songs. Some of the performances didn't have as many. Some had equal number. But man, it was such a solid set. I mean, ridiculously good. And, you know, seeing Tom and Steven do something different, something I hadn't seen, was really fun for me. Sid is always a trip because Sid is, you know, Sid's in. And he's that showman that's going to get you in it. But I just loved how Sid kept coming up to Jeff. Like, they were, I don't know, there was a brotherhood being born there. Sid knighted him. With the guitar, he'd come back and just kind of play off of Jeff's energy. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, and if you see that video that Lena posted, what song was that, Lena, where he comes up right to your camera phone and he's playing harmonica, like, inches away from your phone?
Oh, I think that wasn't that right at the beginning.
Yeah, I want to say. And then Lena goes, thanks a lot, Sid!
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was a great show. If you get the opportunity to see them in your town, and, you know, we were really fortunate in L.A. to get a date. And then from here, they went, they did San Francisco, Strictly Bluegrass. They went up to Portland, and they've been doing a lot of dates in Europe. It was funny because I think today or yesterday, Tom Stephens said, final tour date done. It's been fun, but I'm ready to go home. Yeah. And I'm thinking these guys have been all over many, you know, two continents plus. Yeah. I mean, they've been working really hard, and this album is insanely good. And I'm glad that they're getting out there. And if those of you listeners are not following Long Riders on their social media, you should. Some of the press they got in other countries, I read those articles, like the ones in Spain, so favorable. And the ones in the UK are just a lot of fun, the write-ups about the shows. So it's nice to see that they're getting a great reception and that they're being, you know, called to do these, to do more shows. I really hope, Lena, and I'm going to put the energy out there, that we get to see them again in 2020, in support of this, you know, still in support of this album. And I don't know, do any of you know, could there be another album after this?
I certainly hope so, because I think they got motivated, you know, with the reception that this new album had. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they never expected to do another album, you know, how, you know, under the circumstances, the whole thing was just a lucky fluke. So, really? So here's for another lucky fluke. but, you know, it's like they did write the songs, you know, long distance, you know, just they would send, you know, their part to each other and everyone would build on it. And when they did get together to record it, you know, they were already, you know, they already knew their songs. So I don't see any reason why they couldn't do that again, you know, especially if they can, you know, maybe get another situation like they did before where they can record it. But yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. At least a single or two, an EP, anything.
Yes.
I mean, if this album is any indication, the material is there. And, you know, the fan support is there. So
yeah, they're making fans too, which is really great.
It's incredible. Some of these Spanish shows, the write-ups about them have been really cool, you know, and a lot of it is about, you know, touching on the steady fans that are going, but also new fans who are coming. And so I say, okay, so there's more that we want to hear. There's more that fans want to hear. Let's hope that they've got, you know, some songs.
Rock and roll go. Come through and give us more.
Yes.
Let's hope that there's a bag full of songs and, you know, Tom says, oh, I have this song that doesn't have lyrics. Here, Sid, can you write some lyrics for this? I love Tom's compositions, by the way. This album is just good, and the songs that he's written or that he has such a strong voice for. Man, Tom Stevens blew me away on this one.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
I agree.
I mean, Steven always does. I mean, he's such an amazing musician. Tom blew me away.
Agreed. Man,
very cool. Very, very cool. Oh, I don't know, Jeff. Now I want to go see them on tour.
Yeah.
I know. Let's all get tickets for the cruise.
Yeah.
My gosh. Can you imagine? Are they performing with, like, other bands, too?
Yeah, it's,
Outlaw
Country. Alt-country or alt-country artist cruise. And I asked Tom, he said he thinks that they're playing three times during that cruise. So wouldn't that be great to see them three times?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And on a boat, Jeff, where they can't hide from us.
Yeah.
Our albums to be signed.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be funny. I did want to add that, though, that was pretty cool, though, at the Roxy show where, and Sid announced it from the stage, that they were going to meet by the merch table and sign and take pictures with people and talk to people. They actually didn't make it to the merch table exactly, but they were spread out, and all the guys hung out, and I think they talked to everybody that was interested in talking to them, which I did not expect at all. And I absolutely loved that they did that. It was so cool.
Well, it was a hometown crowd, too. In fact, Tom was telling me that he had a bunch of friends that came from his old Tower Sunset days, the people he used to work with.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That is cool.
Okay, so I gotta ask, maybe Lena, you can answer it, or Jeff, maybe you know. So they always travel with the flag of California, because you see that always in the backdrop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Velvet Elvis. Do both of those belong to Sid?
I think so, yeah.
But I don't see that. What trips me up every time.
They had the Kennedys this time, too.
Oh, that's right. John Kennedy was there. That's right. Yeah, it was something that I think maybe I hadn't noticed before. But the flag of California, which, you know, for a Kentucky guy, I'll take it. And then the Elvis and the Kennedy. Yeah, it was like three focal points. Three images hanging behind the backdrop. But anyways, I digress. Long Riders. I don't know, Lena. Can we send a little birdie to just talk to Sid and say, do more shows? That's what I want to do.
I would give them a little breather first, but you know, I think they would want to do more shows. Because they seem to really, you know, come alive when they're doing the tours, at least until at the end of the tour when they're dead. Like we need a rest, so yeah. I would give them like a little breathing room first before. Okay. But hopefully they can arrange something, because I know there was a lot of people that unfortunately had to miss them here in LA for one reason or another. So they deserve another chance, another opportunity to see them.
Agreed.
I would absolutely say that. And one last thing I wanted to mention. The show took place a couple of days after the very unfortunate passing of Kim.
Kim Shattuck, yeah.
Of Kim Shattuck, of the Muffs. And so up on the marquee, said, you know, it had a little message in honor of Kim. And, I think it's what a lot of us needed on that day. You know, that's a tough loss for the music community in Los Angeles. I mean, and also for Muffs fans everywhere. It was tough to hear, but it was a much needed salve for that moment in time. So, you know, I'm grateful to the Long Riders for that.
Agreed.
It really gave a little breathing room, and I appreciated that. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like that Sid gave the shout out to her from the stage too. That was nice.
Yeah.
Him and yeah, it was I can't say any more about it because it was just very nice.
I wanted to add one more thing before we
Go for it.
Before we call it a podcast. I was flipping through some of the set lists on this tour,
and
I could not believe how many other songs came up during this tour. So it's not like these old guys just learned this set. Let me read off some of them that I jotted down from other shows.
Okay.
So there would be other songs here and there. But here's a list of some of the other songs that they've played on this tour. And She Rides, Run Dusty Run, What the Eagle Sees, Bear in the Woods, Sweet Mental Revenge, Capturing the Flag, The Sound, Gonna Make It Real, I Don't Care What's Right, Wreck of the 809, Tell It to the Judge on Sunday, Prairie Fire, Let Me Take a Breather, Years Long Ago, The Kings of Love, Lights Get in the Way, Man of Misery, some other covers. There's more. I didn't capture all of them, but this is like a whole nother set's worth of songs that they've sprinkled in. So these guys like have this repertoire that they're still familiar with enough to play it in front of a crowd, which is incredible.
Even more to love about them. Mm-hmm. That they're, you know, not afraid to switch some things out, add something in, and still have it be fresh. I love it.
Agreed.
Can't love it. Yeah. Lena, comadre, this was awesome. Awesome talking through this with you.
Yes, a lot of fun.
And not the last time. that we're going to have you on. So let's plans for you.
Okay, great.
We do.
We have plans for you. But thank you so much for sharing your input, but also your knowledge of the Long Riders. And, man, more shows. Let's hope for more shows.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks again, Lena. We appreciate
your
time around. And Jeff, I think we'll be seeing each other at more shows, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Coming up soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. There's always Wild Honey covering the Loving Spoonful.
Yes.
That's coming up in 2020. Ah, Jeff, shall we call it a day?
We shall.
Gente, agrubiar.
Groove on, Paisley people. Lena, do you have a sign-off?
I say good night and groove on and never, ever stop being Paisley.
Fade out.
I love it.
Okay, let's see here.
I don't hear anything. Are you still there? Do I need a call? Oh, I don't know. I think I lost you. It says that you and I are still on the call, but I can't hear you anymore. Hello?
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Lena's online.
Okay.
So why don't you try, let's stop this and you try it again. Call Lena first.
Okay.
But she's online. She's ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Thanks, sir.
I'm gonna join a Baptist church.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much, Lena. Awesome.